of weeks ago, I had, for lack of better terms, an encounter with Jesus. And it's been until now before I could share with you that. But before I do that, I need to actually go back in time a little bit and then forward in time. In 1986, I was just a brand new believer. I had accepted the Lord. I was maybe a year old in the Lord and just excited for Jesus and all that he was doing. And, you know, I was younger then. I had little weeny kids, you know, and my wife. And man, my life was crazy. You know, some of you think you had a crazy life. Mine was crazy. And I'm not going to tell you about all the crazy, but it was busy. And I had a visitation from Jesus. And, you know, the 30-plus years I've known him, he's only spoken to me audibly maybe 4 or 5 times that I can say, yeah, I like looked around. That's how strong it was. And he spoke to me, and here's what he said. You are a shepherd over my people. That's what he said. Just that was it, and he was gone kind of thing. Showed up, spoke, and was gone. And to be honest with you, I haven't fully comprehended that even up until just 2 weeks ago, that literally God has brought revelation to that word of what he said. But I remember back in 1986, I'm like, okay, what church is going to call me? Where am I going to be pastoring? What's going on? Because in my mind, when I hear the word pastor, that's what I think. You know, you're in an official position, doing an official job, that kind of thing. But it was some 10-plus years before actually that title was actually bestowed upon me. But I realized some things now as I look back on it, was that when God said that you are a pastor, he wasn't talking future tense, was he? He said, you are. And as I began to look at that, I began to think about you and think about the fact that when God says that you have a gift, you have a calling on your life, it's not that you've been going through life and all of a sudden he gives you it. You had it from birth. In fact, you had it before you were born, because the Bible says that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So that means the gifts of the Spirit, the callings on your life, they've already been formed. It's not based upon what you do in this life that, oh, because Pastor Tom does this, he now, you know, has a certain gift. That's not how it works. He's had that gift. Now, we may not see it in operation until later in our life possibly, but it's always been there because God gave it to us. It's woven into the fiber of our spiritual DNA. It's a part of who we are. But when God spoke to me about it, let me tell you a little bit about my life. I lived on a dairy farm, and I'm going to be quite honest. If you asked me whether I liked people then, you know what my answer would have been? Nope. Just leave me alone. I'm just doing my thing. You know, I'd rather fix something or do something because it doesn't move after I fix it. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't yell back at me. And here's the thing. The reason why I did that wasn't because I didn't care. It's actually because I did care. And I didn't realize it at the time. In fact, I didn't really fully realize it till I've been meditating on it over the last couple of weeks to think back and say, well, look, if I'm called to be a pastor, which is a shepherd, which is a caregiver, it's all the same word, why did I not want to be around people? And let me tell you why I didn't want to be around people. It's because when I got to know that person, I cared then. And then I had to care for them. I didn't want to do that. You see, now that sounds twisted maybe to some of you. You're like, well, I don't get. Listen, because I cared so much, I would become connected with them in their life and want to help them and do this and do that. You understand what I'm saying? And my whole life would become more topsy-turvy than what it was already. And the reason why I was that way is because God had put that in me. And in a sense, what was I doing? Fighting it and pushing it away. Until finally one day God said, man, it's time. And I look back now and I said, Lord, you know, you said I was a pastor, but I really didn't become one until 1995. And you know what God said? You're a liar. He called me a liar. And he showed me from literally the day I got saved, a couple days after, a group called the Navigators came along. And what their mandate, and they're still around today, great group of people. And what the Navigators do is they don't care how long you've known Jesus. They want to make sure you know Jesus. That's the first thing. But right after that, they give you this outline and tell you to lead a Bible study. They like talk about throw a baby in the pool. And literally, it's like, here, you know, and just throw you out there. And they kind of walk alongside with you and help you. But I didn't realize that essentially from day one, from the birth of my life as being saved, I began to pastor other people. There's only a couple people came to that Bible study. And then I was involved in Sunday school and doing all kinds of things. So when God called me a liar, he was just saying, you didn't recognize what I've already been doing. It's already there. And it's the same for you. You have gifts and callings on your life. And so often we're looking for titles and positions. Just be it. Just Here's why. You matter. I'm no greater than you. You're no greater than me. We're all sheep of his pasture. In fact, if you look at the particular scripture on the front of your bulletin, it talks about that. You're called the sheep, the flock of his pasture, because he loves you the same as me. We're all in this together in a sense. Now, you know, as time's gone on, I now have been given responsibility here. But this isn't a responsibility I carry myself. We have a pastoral staff, a whole group of people that are caregivers. In fact, I wish I knew all of you. You know, I know most of you by name, but I'm sorry, I don't know all of you by name. And the reason is, I only got so much brain matter up here. I can only remember so much. I need help, you know what I'm saying? And that's where you have your pastoral staff that are caregivers as well. So if you don't maybe relate to me, you relate to some other person on the staff. And we grow together. Now let me move forward to 2 weeks ago. I was just in a time of prayer, crying out to God. And let me tell you something. I do this on a regular basis. And here's my prayer to God. God, I want to be right with you, and I want to be right with your body of believers. Because here's the thing. This is not my church. This is God's church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Those are his words, not mine. And so I've been given the responsibility to be a leader, an under-shepherd under the great shepherd, because that's what Jesus is in the Word of God. He's called the bishop or overseer or chief caretaker over our lives, depending on which version of the Bible you want to read. But he's the man. Let's just put it that way. And then I am under that, being responsible to emulate him, to try to lead as I feel led by him. That's how it's supposed to work. And the same with the pastoral staff. The idea is that it's not about us, it's about him. And to be able to present him to you. Now the thing is, each and every one of us have different characters. The Bible says this, that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. And what that basically means is that you could have three people up here could read one passage of Scripture. It's all God's Word. And those three individuals would get a slightly different slant on it. And it's not that either anyone's wrong or someone's more right. It's just that filtered through the character and nature of that person, it comes out a certain way. And that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so I was crying out to God saying, Lord, Lord, you know, and he spoke to my heart. And he said, son, what's the most important thing to you? And I said, Lord, I just want to love you. That's the most important thing of all. That's all I really care about. So I got kind of lost in that for a little while. And then a little while later, he said, what's the second most important thing to you? And I said, your sheep, your people. They're the most important thing because they matter. And the Lord began to show me the importance of each and every one of you as a member. And I've always known that. But what happens is God has a way of refining things. As you walk through life, it's not that you were necessarily doing something really wrong back there. But as you get closer and continue to walk with him, he refines things down. He brings your focus into greater clarity. That's his nature and character. Some people don't like that. Some people are like, I'm good. God, you're good there. I'm good here. I'm just going to carry on the way I am. But that's not the nature and character of our Jesus. He wants to help us to continue to grow in who he is. And so we can have the fullness of the kingdom. That's his desire for each and every one of us. Why? Because you matter. And so as I began to pray about how I was going to share this, the Lord showed me and re-reminded me of Psalms 23. In fact, you heard that young lady in the video, you know, quote it kind of in her own version, but essentially get everything across concerning Psalms 23. So if you have your Bibles or your apps or however you go to Scripture, I encourage you, we're just going to spend a few minutes in Psalms 23 this morning. And as you look at the backdrop of this, David, the psalmist, he's really speaking to God, isn't he? That's really what's happening. He's conveying his heart to God, talking about who God is in his life as the chief shepherd, and then what he receives. So it's kind of a back and forth conversation. It's this most amazing thing. Now, as we're going to look at it, it's going to be a little bit of a different context. In the context that I've been given responsibility, the pastoral staff has been given responsibility to shepherd you, to guide you, to help you in this life. And so I'm not replacing Jesus. No one on staff is replacing Jesus. He's the man, all right? But the idea is that our job is to reflect Jesus. And so everything that we say and do should honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the context of that, let's just take a few minutes and just look at this in bite-sized pieces. As it begins in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, some versions say I shall not be in need. That's actually a little better terminology, actually, because how many people know that your wants aren't always what you need? and so it's probably a better translation, need. Now, it's interesting also, it's not wants with an S. or in the versions that have need, it doesn't say needs, but singular. Now, why does it say that? Here's why. Jesus is really, ultimately, your only need. If you have Jesus and you have a strong relationship with him, every other need you have will be satisfied, won't it? Now, does that mean when you come forward for prayer and I know you and you say, hey, I really need prayer for my job. I lost my job. I need another job. Am I going to say, well, you just need Jesus? Is that going to help you at that very moment in time? No, I'm going to pray for God to help you find that job you need. You know, you're hurting in your relationship. You know, I may encourage you, you know, seek the Lord and ask him for wisdom. But let's pray about this relationship and believe God for a miracle to happen. So in other words, other needs are important, but under the auspices of that one need, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, often people in the world will come to me and want counsel. And I'll tell them, I really can't help you. I'm like, well, what do you mean you can't help you? And I said, because all of my counsel is under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit and under a relationship with God. And if you don't have that, then none of this is really going to help you. Now, that may seem a bit cold-hearted, but it's a reality, isn't it? Even Jesus said this. What good would it be to go to hell with your arms and legs and your sight and everything? Wouldn't it be better for you to go missing some pieces? And what he was really talking about is that the importance of that relationship is more important than anything here in the natural. And so we as believers need to know that our strength comes from knowing that he is our shepherd. And what's the shepherd mean? Caregiver, the one who wants to meet your needs. And so let's move on. As it goes on, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This does not mean that on some sunny day, I'm going to make everyone go outside where the grass is green. Say, okay, everybody lie down now. In fact, if that happens, you probably need to vote me out. Something is wrong in my head. Because that's not what this scripture is talking about. Well, what is it talking about? One thing I didn't tell you as part of my growing up times is that on my father's farm, we had a flock of sheep, about 20, 25 sheep. My dad always had them all through my growing up years, right until I was about 25, 26 years old. And he would go away sometimes. And I had two other brothers, but guess who had to look after the sheep? Let me tell you why. My brothers hated the sheep, just hated them. Now, what am I? I'm a caregiver. I'm a shepherd. So by nature, I loved it. I think it was awesome to watch them and help them get to where they needed to go. And so I ended up with that job. And so here's the thing. Let me tell you some things about sheep that you may not know. First of all, sheep will not lie down if two things are happening. If they're hungry, they will not lie down because they're going to keep eating until they're full. So that's one thing. The other thing is they will never lie down if they sense any fear in any way. If there's any fear whatsoever, they want to be on their feet so they can move. They lie down, they're in a vulnerable position, so they won't lie down. They just won't do that. And so here's the thing. Let's translate that to church. We want to provide an environment for you where you feel safe to come into. In other words, a no-judgment zone. You know, I think it's Planet Fitness, right? No-judgment zone. You can go there, and no one's supposed to say anything negative to you. Well, in a sense, that principle applies here. Doesn't mean that people won't help you to make changes in your life as you ask. But the idea is that you are welcome here. You can come here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no one on the pastoral staff will tell you, hey, you're wearing the wrong clothes. Don't do this. Don't do that. And in fact, if they do, come and talk to me about it, all right? But the point is that you can come here and feel safe and not be in fear of being judged. Here's why. Jesus himself says this in John 3, verse 17. He said, I did not come condemn the world, but rather through me the world might be saved. And so there is not to be any condemnation within the sheepfold. It should be a safe place where seekers can come, where individuals and families and children could come to seek the presence of God, to be touched by him. Here's the reason why. None of us were changed without Jesus. And so we need to make the door wide open for anyone to come and seek the face of God, because he's the only one that can make change in our lives. Amen? And so as we go on, it talks about, you know, lying down in green pastures. So what is the green pastures? Does that mean I'm going to have piles of grass up here and say, hey, come and grab your grass and eat it? You know, that's not what it's about. The green pastures speak of the Word of God. In other words, one of my primary jobs in the leadership here is to provide the Word of God. That's food for you. That's food for you. And if we go on, it says, and he leads me beside still waters. Well, what that's speaking of is the Holy Spirit. The The idea is that I provide the Word, that the Word is provided for you, and the Holy Spirit. There's a saying, an old saying, that too much of the Word you dry up, too much of the Spirit you blow up, but balance the Word and the Spirit and you grow up. And that's the idea, is that we provide both for you, because you need the Word as a foundation. So when God the Spirit speaks, you know that it's God the Spirit speaking, because you know what the Word of God says, because He'll never say anything contrary to the Word. And so my job, the responsibility of the pastoral staff here, is to lead you to green pastures, to lead you through the Word, to help you and guide you. Not so much to tell you so much what it says, but to say, hey, have a look at this. Because here's something I've learned about sheep. You can't make them eat anything. All you can do is lead them to a place where there's nice grass so they can eat it. You hear what I'm saying? In fact, I learned something a long time. You can't make a sheep do anything. I could get into it about real sheep. You can't herd them. You know, my father, when I was just 4 or 5 years old, said, hey, son, go get the sheep. And he was having one of his happy fun days. So I go, and I'm trying to chase them in. So you chase them, and they go, like, around you. So then you get behind them again, and you try to chase. And my dad is laughing his head off at me. And I'm crying, like, I can't do it. You know? And he's just laughing. He's just dying laughing. So here's what he does. It's the most amazing lesson that I ever learned, and it's helped me to this very day. He had, back in that day, you could buy in Canada, I don't know about down here, you could buy antifreeze in metal cans. Could you do that down here back like a long time ago? No one is saying anything. Okay. Well, in Canada, it's kind of like in Canada, you can get milk in a bag. None of you guys know about that either. You really can. All right, forget it. Let me just back up. Anyway, we had these antifreeze cans. After you used the antifreeze and washed it out good, they made great cans to carry grain around in. So we used it as a bucket to carry grain. So after my dad finished laughing at me, he said, son, come over here. So here's what he would do. It's the most amazing thing. He would just take the can with a little bit of oats in it. He'd tap the side of the barn door. The sheep would all go whoop, and they'd come running towards him. And he says, son, you can't drive sheep. You lead them. I'm like, oh. And so I learned such a life lesson then. I've seen so many people in my life and around me try to drive people, try to drive God's flock. You can't. You lead them. What you do is you lead them to the good pastures. You lead them to the still waters. And you say, this is what God's got for you. You know, have a look. Because, again, they have to eat it for themselves. I'm not feeding them. God is feeding them. Amen? And so it's so important to realize that that's the heart of Jesus. Here's why. You matter. Every single one of you to God matters so much. You know, you were formed in your mother's womb. Eons before that, He knew you, planned your life out, has this awesome, awesome plan for you. And part of my job is to help you discover what that is in a safe, healthy, wholesome environment. And so as we move on, and I love this in verse 3, this one short line, He restores my soul. Now, who does the restoring? God does, of course, right? But it's my job to help you in soul restoration. Well, what does that really mean? All right, let me take a survey. How many people in their life has had something bad happen to them? Put your hand up. There should be every hand up. If not, there is something wrong with you. And I need to have a talk with you and find out how you didn't have some scarring happen in your life. Because the reality of it is, as good as your parents might have been, your guardians, your school teachers, your friends at school, your coworkers, wherever you hang out, somebody's done something wrong to you somewhere along the way. That's just the reality of it. So we have scars. We have damage. We have damaged souls. That's really our mind, our will, and our emotions. We've got stuff that's happened. Now, here's the thing. God is in the business of soul restoration. I heard this title. In fact, I just read it on the book. I was at Sam's Club the other day. And it said, and the title of this Christian book is this: Learn to Love as If You've Never Been Hurt. Let me say that again. To learn to love as if you've never been hurt. That is true soul restoration. That literally any damage that has been cut gets erased. Let me give you an example. You want to help someone, and that person's saying something, and in your back of your mind, you're like, oh, they're going to try this, or they're going to do that. What are you doing? Already you're putting a shield up because you got hurt, you got burned by somebody in the past, something happened, and so already you're guarding yourself. That's not the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus, as you watched Him walk around, lots of people hurt Him, didn't they? But did it hurt Him? In other words, they said hurtful things, they acted hurtful, but what did He do? The Bible says this, He loved them. That agape, unconditional kind of love. And that's true soul restoration, that we all get to that point where things happen and we carry on loving regardless. That's God's heart, to love as if we've never been hurt. That's the ultimate soul restoration. And that's part of our job here as leadership, as a pastoral staff here at the church, is to help you through those difficult times. Because stuff's happened. You know, I know most of you. And I've heard the stories, you know, and I've prayed with you in confidence for those different things that have happened. And let me tell you something. As concerned as you are and as I am, God is even more concerned. Why? Because you matter. God cares so much for every situation that's going on in your life. And part of my job, if anything, is to make you realize you are so important to the Lord. Let's move on. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his namesake. I love this scripture. Because look at this. The word righteousness, what that means is right standing. Specifically, right standing before the Lord. In other words, my job is to help you come into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 20, there is the Ten Commandments. That's where, you know, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and there's the thunder and the lightning and the clouds and everyone's all freaked out. So he goes up, brings the Ten Commandments down. And the first thing that the people say to Moses is this: hey, Moses, you know, you can go and talk to God. And when you're done, you can come back and tell us what to do. And we'll just stay back here. I know there are some churches that actually are like that, where the pastor is, quote, the voice of God. Let me tell you something. That's not my job. In Ephesians 3, verse 12, it says this: in Christ and through faith in him, we, meaning you, me, can approach God with all freedom and confidence. In other words, my job is to show you that there is a way for you to approach God. Isn't that a good thing to know? That you can experience his presence for yourself. And that you can be in right standing with God. And right standing doesn't mean what you did right or wrong today. Right standing is that you made a decision to accept Jesus into your heart. That's what causes you to be in right standing with God. That and that alone. Not salvation plus works. You get what I'm saying? Not accepting Jesus plus. Let me tell you something. That's religion. And to me, as a person who grew up in denominational church for the first 25 years of my life, that stinks. And I smell it a mile away. And when someone comes along and they're like, well, you know I need Jesus, but I also, but, there's no buts. You know, you need Jesus. And as you walk with Jesus, he then helps you to become better. Amen? But the day you accepted Jesus, you're in as much right standing then as 30 years later in Jesus. Exactly the same. And the thing is, when you start to put things on yourself and say, oh, but I said this today, or I did this wrong today, you have blocked yourself from God. God hasn't blocked you. You've blocked yourself. Take the blocks off. Take the blocks off, because you've been saved by the blood of Jesus plus nothing. Just Jesus and him alone. So it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. And I love this. For his namesake. What does that mean? Well, we took communion together as a family, as a church family. And what were we celebrating? What he did on the cross, that he died for our sins. And as a result of that, his namesake. So we get to stand in his presence because of what Jesus has done. We honor God. Every time we stand in the presence of God and worship him, we're actually giving credit to Jesus. That's awesome. Think about that. It's not about you. It's about him, honoring him. And so you get the privilege of coming into his presence, plus he gets blessed as well. That's phenomenal. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Wouldn't it be great if church life was just worshiping Jesus and everything's joyful all of the time? Just last week, we had a funeral. Pastor Ken Onyeshula's wife, Marion, 51 years old, suddenly passed away. So a couple things happened in my life as one of the sheep. As one of you, I'm heartbroken. Totally broken. Just a week before, I'd given her a big bear hug, and she gave me a bear hug back, and then he broke my ribs. She's one tough lady, you know what I'm saying? I knew her for years. Wonderful lady in the Lord. Loved Jesus. So I got my own questions. Jesus, you know, why'd you let this happen? What the heck's going on here? Same questions that some of you had, I'm sure. But I had to lay that aside. And as a shepherd, say, Lord, what's your heart for the flock as we walk through this shadow of death? See, Marion's just fine. She's in glory, having a wonderful time. In fact, she's looking down saying, what's wrong with you guys? Literally. That, and you know her. That's what she'd say. And so I believe that's what this scripture is talking about. You see, David, King David, had a young son, a baby son, pass away. And I'm sure that he had that in mind as he was thinking of this scripture, as he was talking to the Lord about it. And so for you and I, we just need to realize as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't say walk through death, the valley of the shadow of it. Well, what does that mean? I believe it speaks of when loved ones and friends and neighbors and people around us pass from this place to glory and beyond, that that's who this scripture is speaking to. Now, what's it tell us? That as we're in that valley of the shadow, who's with us? You are with me. And that's speaking, obviously, of Jesus. But it's also speaking of the under-shepherds as the pastoral staff here. That our job isn't only to rejoice with you when there's great joy going on, but how about when there's a death? When there's a devastation, when there's a difficulty that happens in life. Our job is to come alongside of you as representatives of Jesus and say, look, you're not alone in this. To hold your hand and to help you and to cry when you cry, in a sense. And I don't mean in some kind of fake kind of way, but to experience what you're experiencing to help you walk through it. Because Jesus says this, he weeps with those who weep and he laughs with those who laugh. In other words, he's literally a part of who we are. And that's my job. That's the pastoral's job as well, is to stand with you going through these difficulties. That's part of what flock life is about, what church life is about, amen? It's all good, but it still has difficult times. But imagine if you were alone and didn't have. You know, in fact, Ken wanted me to thank everyone. He was so blessed by all the things the church did, by their prayers and by their gifts and just support in all the different ways through phone calls. He was so touched. In fact, his family couldn't believe it. You know, how much love was poured into him from us, from the sheep. We were all working together to help him through that difficult time. And I encourage you to continue to pray for Pastor Ken and for his daughter, Johanna. Amen? But the thing is, we walk through it and we carry on, knowing that this life is only a part of all eternity. Let's move on. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As you look at this, you might think, well, it's talking about two different things. It's really not. A shepherd's staff is a rod as well. How many people have seen the nativity scene? They see the, you know, the shepherd, he's there, and he's got the little crook at the top. Okay, well, that's the one end of it. The other side of it is pointy, and it's designed to do what? Well, the pointy side is to push the wolves back and the bears and the lions that would try to attack the sheep. And the crook part is to pull back the sheep that have gotten astray and to help them. In fact, it's designed in such a way that if that sheep falls over a cliff and it's just there on the edge, that you can actually hook them on that just below the head and actually lift them up by that. Pretty amazing. And so what does that mean for you and I? Well, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Correction and direction. That's what it's speaking of. The rod and staff. The rod being correction in our lives where we need to get poked. Now, I know nobody likes to get poked. But that's the reality of it. To say, hey, something's wrong here. You got to make a change. But then the staff part is the direction. And that's how God works. He corrects and he directs. So part of my job is, how do I do that? Through the word of God, through the ministry of the Spirit, is to correct and direct. Why? To be miserable to you? To make your life tough? No. So that you can experience the kingdom in all of its fullness. Because that's how God wants to work. Through the rod and staff. What's it say? You're comforted. In other words, through that direction and correction, you have peace in your heart. I know what it's like to do my own thing. How many people have done their own thing? All right, let me ask you another question. How'd that work out for you? Not good. And I can say that of myself. You know what I'm saying? And so as I've taken the correction and direction of God and of the shepherds that were over me and are around me, I'm comforted. The idea isn't to cripple you, but to actually set you free. So let's move on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a very interesting scripture. Here's what I believe. Again, this is my word to you today. It has different meanings at different times. But here's what I believe that it says. That you've got stuff happening in your life. There's enemies around you. It could be somebody at work. It could be a situation at home. In other words, you've got adversaries. You've got things happening in your life. We all do. At different levels, different times. Things are happening in our life. It could be health issues. The list goes on and on. All right? So we've got stuff going on in our lives. But here's what it says. David's speaking to the Lord. He says, you prepare a table before me. What is he saying? He's saying you are still going to be provided for. I think of the Lord saying, look, in the midst of everything, think of Jesus. He's going to go to the cross in just a few hours. And he says to his disciples, look, I want to have a meal with you. Now, he's got this huge weight on his shoulder. He's going to go to the cross, die for all mankind's sin. And he still finds it important to hang out with his followers. Well, in a sense, for us, it's the same way. We may have all kinds of difficulties happening in our lives. But Jesus still wants to fellowship with you. Why? Because he always has been the answer and always will be the answer to all of your enemy problems. And so he's saying, look, come and fellowship with me. When you look in the Bible, anytime people sat down to eat together, it was for fellowship. In fact, the Greek word is koinonia. It means intimacy. It means a sharing of thoughts with one another. It's an impartation, literally. And that's what this is saying. Saying in the midst of that. In fact, in Revelations, it talks about that. Doesn't the Lord say, you know, if I knock on the door, if you'll open the door, I will come and dine with you and you with me? Well, that's literally what this is talking about, isn't it? That even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of the craziness of life, he wants to spend some time with you. Now, the question is, are we willing to take time aside and just sit with him and just talk with him and just let him minister to us? Because he is the great shepherd and the overseer. Some versions say this, the bishop of our souls. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, again, this whole concept of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how God just wants to minister to us and help us in every way. In other words, to bless us and bless us and bless us. That's God's desire for you and I. And so let's move on. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As one of your shepherds, my job is to provide an atmosphere where you can experience the presence of God and to realize that it's not just for church. It's when you're in your car going to work. It's in your house. Oh, yeah, even at work. You know where that nasty person is? Yep, presence of God. You really need that there. At school, wherever you are, that the presence of God can go with you 24/7. That is one of the greatest desires I have for you. Why? Because you matter. You matter not only to God, but you matter to the pastoral staff here. I'm going to ask right now that the elders would stand up first. I see that they're all here. So elders and their wives, can you stand up? I want you to recognize that these are the other chief shepherds, chief elders here. So we got Chris and Robin Stanzioli back there. You got Pastor Vic and Pastor D right here, and Pastor Tom and Mary here. Let me tell you something. These people you can trust with your lives. You can trust them with your lives. All right, could the other reach out pastors stand up? There's some other ones here. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. All right, so you can see all these guys. You know, I see Johnny and Bethany at the back there, and I see Roberto. I see Anthony. I see Pastor Ken over here on my left. I see Norman and Linda Miranda. I see George, Pastor George, and Lorez and Yusuf Green. And of course, save the best for last, Pastor Sandra, my wife. Amen. And listen to me. All of these people, you can trust them with your lives. You can share anything with them. They're not going to go, they're not all going to freak out on you, all right? You can just talk to them and say, look, this is what's going on. And they will seek God on your behalf. They will pray. They will not give their own words. They will give what they believe the Spirit of God has told them to do, because that's what they're called to do as shepherds. In other words, it's not about our opinion, is it? It's about what God has to say. And they will encourage you. And so I'm going to ask the shepherds and the elders, so the pastors, those guys that all just stood up, the elders, come on up here. You're going to stand in a row up here. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some pastoral care this morning. Karen, you want to come up? We're going to provide an opportunity for you to have some care. These are your shepherds. They want to care for you. They want to love on you. They want to help you at this point. So everyone that stood up, Pastor Ken, I want you to come forward. Come on up here. Absolutely. These individuals would give their lives for any one of you. Why? Because you matter. They care for you. All these people, I have known most of them for 15, 20 years. I think the least is probably about 12 years. So literally, a long time. We have history together. I've seen Jesus work in their lives. They are trustworthy. Now, we have other leaders. You'll notice at times when we have prayer request, when we have a time of prayer, I'll say, hey, will the pastors and leaders come up? Well, in a sense, those guys are kind of pastors in training, some of them. You know, some of them will become pastors down the road. But how are they going to learn to pray? How are they going to learn to intercede? Well, they need to be thrown, just like I was thrown into the water. You know, you need to get thrown into the fire, in a sense, to move forward. And so you'll see that at times I will call other people to come forward to pray for others as well. But right now we're talking about the pastoral staff, and these are them. These are people you can trust.